Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elaine Grohman, and this is Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. I want to thank you for your continued listenership and for being willing to listen to what I have to say and what others have to say that I bring on to the show. I really appreciate that. Today I'm doing a solo show as I have done in the past, but this one seems to be very poignant. What I often do whenever I choose to do a solo show, or if for some reason something has happened with the schedule of my clients or the individuals that I'm to interview, I'll do a solo show. And what I would like to talk to you about today, or talk with us all about today, is how do we become our better selves? In this time that all of us have experienced on a global scale, is offered us this pandemic, whether we have wanted it or not, whether we have resisted it or not, whether we have embraced it or not, we have had to spend time with ourselves. And for some and for many, this has been an uncomfortable thing, because we have spent so much of our lives cloaking ourselves in superficial things that try to make us blend with one another rather than to be our own unique selves. So we may have found ourselves in the past driving ourselves to anxiety and stress in the pursuit of things, of positions, of possessions, of information and education, without distinguishing often who we are as individuals and what it is that we can contribute to life. And in this time, I have spent a great deal of time in this time of the pandemic to work on and finally complete the writing of my third book. This past weekend, it has been completed, I believe. Just now has to be brought into a format so that I can show a publisher or decide whether I will self-publish. And what I've discovered is that we have been taught to not self-examine. We have been taught to judge. We have been taught to be harsh and to lay blame and to criticize. And it has become a very ugly sport. And we have got to, we have an opportunity. We don't have to do anything, but we have an opportunity to stop that and recognize and observe honestly, has that changed anything? If we do not learn how to observe where we are, observe what it is that influences our words, influences our choices, influences our behavior, influences our words, if we don't take the time to observe why we do these things, we will do it reflexively. And we will follow the broken pattern that we have lived in our known history. And that is the history of war, of conflict, of the haves and the have-nots. And we have an opportunity now to begin to recognize that we can speak to one another in more meaningful ways. We can open the doors of understanding, and we can learn how to change. First of all, I think the hardest thing for all of us to do is to get over the panic many have felt when those things that they have believed to be the most important things to themselves in their lives begin to be unstable or diminished. That might be our health. That might be our physical capabilities. That might be our ability to be mobile, our ability to travel and go where we choose. These things, as they have been limited, can either make us very angry or they can help us to be selective in who and what and where we really want to spend our time, who and what and where we want to have conversations, not just with others, but with ourselves, and with that which provides us life. We have been given the time to reacquaint ourselves with life itself. We have seen and will continue to see, I believe, a great and honest desire to be out in nature, to become more involved with caring for the planet, with gardening, with growing food, with appreciating what it is that has always sustained us in our lives, but we have become distanced from. And this great convenience of having what we need available to us around the globe has been wonderful, but at the same time, it has desensitized ourselves to being aware of and appreciating that which makes it possible for us to have a life. So we are recognizing in our time clearly that the things that we have done as human beings, the things that we have witnessed, the things that we have contributed to or supported in one way or another that has been detrimental to life, we are seeing the catastrophic consequences of these things. We are seeing that the way we have managed the land has stripped the land of nutrients in its own biodiversity and its own ancient, ancient ways of regenerating and renewing itself. How the earth herself knows and has always known how to mitigate any damage, how to use the elements in ways that, when they're misunderstood, can be perceived as dangerous. The earth has known that sometimes the only way that a sea can emerge is with fire, to burn away that which is choking out parts of a forest so that dormant seeds can wake up and be planted back in the fertile soil, that the decomposed wood and the ash is contributing to. These cycles do not have to be so destructive, but because of the fact that we have interfered with the natural ecosystems, and instead of learning from them, we have accelerated challenges. It is time for us to learn how to be observers and observant of what works and what doesn't work, so that we can become more educated in working with these ancient ways that always are providing and supporting and contributing to life, not simply destroying, which humanity has been in the mindset of for thousands of years. As we learn to walk along the shores of a water, of the waters, whether it's a moving river, a stream, a lake, an ocean. We can feel the presence when we're still and our mind is clear and it's not angry or resentful or only asking for things, but always saying, help me see what you're already bringing. The water is constantly coming to the shore. Healthy water is constantly moving and blending and evaporating and falling down in the form of rain and snow and sleet and hail and ice. And it is always renewing itself. Our ancients, the medicine peoples of the world, studied these cyclical phenomenons, these beautiful cycles that helped us to understand ourselves and our relationship to the earth, our relationship to the elements of ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And did not, in the strict sense of the language of religion, worship these things, which is the great misunderstanding. Instead, there was honor and respect. Honor and respect for the land. Honor and respect for the water, for the air, for the elements, for fire. And what these elements brought to our lives, what they allowed us to experience in our lives, without anything being asked of us, except awareness, except learning from these things, these great beings, so that we can begin to understand the influence, and not only the influence, but the very way in which our lives exist because of these beings, because of these things. So in this time of this pandemic, in this global shift, we have seen countless people become ill. We have seen countless people become angry, which will lead to illness. We have seen countless people survive. We have seen countless division. Some believe necessary, others do not believe necessary. But we have, many of us have failed to see what is working, what has always worked, what will enhance and contribute to our lives being healthy and full and workable and inclusive and collaborative. As we have learned that we can step away from environments that perhaps in the past have been toxic to us, long and arduous drives to places so that we can be employed or we can go see someone that we have not been able to see, or to feel the pressure of getting from one place to another, finding the challenge of parking or getting to a place on time so you can punch a clock, and in so doing, begin to monetize your life into how much money am I making in this hour and in this day and in this month and in this paycheck and in this year, rather than what is the value I have here? What is the richness that my contribution is bringing? What can I learn from the contribution of others, the wisdom of others? How can I join together with others to participate in recognizing what within myself might need to change? Where might I see my own insecurities or my own errors in judgment or words or actions, so that I can gain some humility, ask for forgiveness, and hopefully be forgiven, so that all things don't just shut down. So we learn, how do we begin to solve the problems that we alone have created? The challenge is also that because as human beings, and we have lived under this global belief of competition and segregation and judgment and battles and wars, that we don't realize that everyone that we meet comes with their own story, comes with their own beliefs and thoughts and understandings and misunderstandings about who they are. We misunderstand the children. We expect them to be like us. We misunderstand the enthusiasm of youth and their desire to question because they need to know who they are and what they can do. They're not being rude or disrespectful, but they want our time. They need our time. Because we as adults have already reached this age we are at, and we can no longer cling only to what we have been taught by our elders, but we have to be open to what we can learn from our children. And so this wonderful, challenging time of the pandemic has given us this doorway to step through, to become our better selves. In ancient indigenous knowledge, there is an obvious and maybe not so obvious to some understanding that we can only be here as human beings because spirit has decided to become physical. And we are part of spirit and a part of the spirit that exists everywhere. We are part of the trees outside, the leaves outside, the air outside, the water within my glass becomes the water within me when it is consumed and moves in and out of you and I. And so we have been taught to have a very human-centric point of view. And that human-centric point of view is very skewed, is very myopic, and has been terribly wrong. We have the opportunity to understand and to broaden our relationships, our relationship with ourselves. How do we begin to navigate and appreciate and care for this amazing structure that is our body? How do we begin to truly recognize and honor the fact that not a single one of us brought ourselves here? How do we begin to recognize that the entirety of the planet, with the exception of some distant places or uninhabitable places, are populated by human beings that look different than one another? And that there are animals that survive and plants that survive in different environments because they're perfect for their habitat. Their habitat and they mend and meld together and create a stability for the entirety of our planet. We have an opportunity to become our better selves when we recognize we are not bad now. So there's no need to beat ourselves up when we think about becoming better. Not meaning that we have somehow been bad. But instead of looking at what can I do differently now? What can I release? What can I inquire about? What brings my interest to it? Right now, November 1st, 2021, we're in the middle of what is called the Red Lodge. In the indigenous world, there are four lodges which represent the seasons. And we are in the Red Lodge. if we look around, depending upon where you live on this planet, here in Michigan, we can see the incredible, magnificent jewel tones in the natural world. The golds and the browns and the greens and the burgundies and the red and the brown as things begin to change. As the leaves fall to the earth and are collected, they don't just have to be a chore for us to do to pick up the leaves that have fallen. But if we really observe, we can learn about the health of our environment by looking at the leaves. Are they healthy looking? Are they diseased looking? Is there something that needs our attention? And as we gather them up, instead of just putting them in bags that could be brought to a landfill, we could put them in bags that can be put into a compost pile so that good, rich earth can be what we use in the springtime as this material, these leaves, have decayed and broken down to become earth yet again. It is up to us to decide, are we going to be angry about what we're doing, or are we going to appreciate what we can do and what it means to us to work with and participate with the living earth. As we begin to witness the temperature change, the air getting cold, and the days getting shorter, the light being less throughout the day, we are in time of autumn in which we begin to gather together what it is that we need, whether it's something we're trying to do, a project, an opportunity to begin to contemplate, to learn how to begin to decide what we want to preserve and what we want to discard and let go. We can observe that this is what nature does and follow this pattern. What do we need as individuals to let go of? What beliefs do we need to let fall? What have we learned about our beliefs and our place in the earth, on the earth, based on those beliefs? Do our beliefs help us to be inclusive and collaborative, or do our beliefs make us judgmental and angry and distant and cold? It is up to us to take this time to decide where we want to go. And in the not too distant future, we'll be stepping into winter, the true time of hibernation if you're in the colder climates. In the areas where you can become aware that the seasons are indeed changing and that a year is coming to its full cycle, its conclusion. And as the mother bear goes into hibernation, in order to not only give birth, but to preserve her energy and to be in what is called the Dreamer's Lodge, in which there is the opportunity to simply rest deeply. In wintertime, we can choose to gather together in our warm homes, around a dinner table, around a lunch table, around a fire, around a fireplace, and have the opportunity to bring all ages together, to bring children, to bring young teens, to bring young adults, young parents, middle-aged parents, older people, seniors together, to learn about the cycles of life, to be able to encourage one another, to go out and fulfill their dreams, to try new opportunities, to spread their wings, and to know that they will always have a place to come, to know that they will always have an ear to listen. We are in a time of change. Everyone needs to change. I need to change. In this time, I've learned to recognize what it means to be an elder, what it means to be an adult parent of adult children with grandchildren. And I have many conversations with people who are earnestly trying to help bring peace and clarity to places where it's needed. And we are here to change. This is the reason we have been born. We have been born in order to experience life. We have been born to contribute, to learn to be the better part of ourselves each and every day, each and every moment. Does that mean that we, if we haven't done something well, that we're wrong, or we're, as religion might call it, sinners or bad? No. It means we have so much to learn. And as we learn to take one another's hands, take one another's hearts, no matter who we are in relation to one another, siblings, parents, cousins, friends, acquaintances, community members that we know or don't know, we can learn that everyone right now is in the midst of struggle. And that struggle is trying to determine, who am I? What does my life mean? And I'm very privileged to have conversations with people all over the world about deep and meaningful things. How do we begin to look at the poverty that we know exists in our world and question, why does it exist at all? We have the opportunity to honestly and lovingly and clearly see what needs to be given and offered and shared with those who do not have it, do not have food, do not have shelter, do not have safety, and ask why. Not to judge, not to assume that anyone deserves to be treated poorly. This is an arrogant mind, an ignorant mind. We have to learn how to no longer be ignorant people. In the study of language, our words are very complicated and often confusing. And if someone uses a word without understanding its meaning, then they're confounding the problem of their inability to think. So the word ignorance has two very distinct and very different meanings. We can no longer afford to allow ignorance, which means lack of education, lack of opportunity, to be present in our world. Everyone can do something. Even those who appear to have disabilities or hardships are capable of being present with us in ways that we might be surprised. So ignorance in this meaning is an innocent unknowing, a simple or honest awareness that someone is not aware, either because they just don't know how to do something, or they've never had the opportunity to experience something, and they therefore do not know of its existence, and do not know how to incorporate it into their lives. This is the innocent ignorance. And then there is the willful ignorance, the willingness to ignore, the willingness to look the other way, the willingness to not speak, not learn, not say I'm sorry, not ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness. That is an ignorance of a very different kind. We all need to recognize that we have been both innocent and guilty. We have been both unaware and fully aware. And we also need to know at this time how to let things be more transparent. Because each one of us have our own perspective and our own ideas about how things should be. But that doesn't mean that we are the only ones that are right. There is a really wonderful phrase called courageous conversations, having courageous conversations, which means to speak with someone, beginning with ourselves, that says, hey, what if you're not right? What if what you think is true isn't? What if your perspective needs to broaden? First of all, we have to start with a courageous conversation with ourselves. Then we get to step into a courageous conversation with someone with whom we've had a conflict, with someone with whom we love or don't know yet, that we want to understand, or we want to have some kind of meaningful relationship with, but we could have very vastly different views, vastly different experiences that neither make us wrong or right. Having courageous conversations can open the doorways and open the windows of understanding so that we can become our better selves, to become our more inclusive self, to become more able to broaden our perspective by listening to someone else's point of view. But it also means that we have to be willing to listen to what is not workable, to recognize when something is not workable, and do our part to help it change. To do it, our part to help it grow, to do our part to help it blossom in ways that we have not known. So we have made the mistakes and we can correct the mistakes. This is part of being our better selves. Unfortunately, we have seen so many times that political rhetoric, religious wrangling, media is always pointing a finger outward instead of saying, our organization is not working. Our form of teaching is not inclusive. Our beliefs create separation. We need to see that every organization is comprised of people. There is no being that has a heart within itself. It is the people that enter that building, enter those halls, enter those rooms, enter those doors that give life to an organization, that can let an organization thrive or descend. But what we must begin to understand, and I think that we are being given the opportunity, I know I have, to really fully look at what does it mean to interact with the world? What does it mean to be a part of life? What does it mean? What does it mean? Where do we want to be and grow from here? What do we need to change? What are we afraid of and acknowledging what isn't working? Is it that maybe we don't know the answers? Maybe we are afraid to change. That is normal, and that is okay. But still, we must move on. If we take the very complex but seemingly simple example of our own body, if we were to have a cut, for instance, it would be wise and prudent to clean the wound. We ourselves have no conscious awareness of what our physical body is doing to mitigate any harm that could come from this seemingly simple cut. But consciously, we play a part. And so it is wise to clean and to bandage it and to keep it protected so that that which needs to heal can and do so because it knows how. The time must be given. Respect must be given. Attention must be given. And with no conscious direction from us, our body begins to heal. Must we do our part? Yes. The part that we do is rest, to keep our body clean, to keep our body nourished, to keep our body as well as we can. So this mysterious mechanism we call health can do what it has done for millions of years, heal the body. But we as human beings have to learn how to heal our emotions, to heal our minds, to begin to work with the information that our emotions are providing so that we no longer stay in our anger and our stress and our anxiety that we have learned to identify ourselves by, to become our better selves, willing to grow from what we have not known, to relinquish and set aside the unworkable so that we can find something that works. I remember as a child, I had a fascination with a scab. As soon as I would get an injury and it would start to scab, I just had this desire to pick it off and see what was going on underneath. And invariably, it would bleed. I'd have to clean it again. I'd have to bandage it again. I couldn't wait to see what was happening. Sometimes I'd get a scar. Sometimes I wouldn't. And so I have learned to be patient, to let the things that need to heal, heal. And then to recognize that the skin that was damaged is now fresh. The relationships that have been damaged can be refreshed. The thoughts that have been damaged, the words that have done damage, can be not only wounds, but teachers. Is there truth in what has been said? Is there something that I can learn about what has been said? Can I relinquish and let go of the wound and the hurt of it? And learn how I can be differently in a relationship with individuals, with the world, and with myself. Every year, a cycle of life begins and ends. And we live within these cycles. We are cyclical beings, which means we are born. We begin to grow, we begin to learn, we begin to mature, we begin to age, and before we know it, it is time to leave this beautiful life that we have been given. None of us know how long we will be here. None of us know exactly the ramifications of our words and our actions. But if we consciously attempt to be more inclusive and to learn and to change ourselves, then so much more can be brought to the elevation and the betterment of humanity as a whole, one person at a time. I would like to invite anyone who is interested in knowing that I do both individual readings for people, and I also do individual healings with people. That can be done in person or over the phone or via Zoom. And if you're interested and would like to learn more about what I do, please go to my website, which is elainegroman.com, www.elainegroman.com. I will be offering group readings, intuitive readings, which I call audience readings. The next one is coming up in November. If you go to my website shortly, I will be having those posted. In December, I will be offering 2-day workshops about understanding energy medicine, an introduction, and then moving on in January to a level 2 class. These take place in Farmington Hills. If you're interested and wanting to learn about these things, please feel free. I am happy to say that I believe I've just concluded the writing of my third book, and now I'll be looking at ways of getting it out there. And it's been a labor of love. It has been challenging. I've had to learn many things, and I'm grateful for the process. I hope to have the opportunity to speak to many people about the contents of the book, what it means, and continue to write others. So I welcome you to contact me at elaine@elainegroman.com. If you have any questions or emails, I get back to everyone as quickly as I'm able. And so I want to thank you all for this opportunity to spend some time with you today, to give us something to think about. How do we begin to become our better selves? How do we begin to look at what we have in this very short opportunity called this lifetime? How do we begin to touch our own lives in deeper and more kind and loving and inclusive ways, to use the intellect that we have been given to expand and expound upon that intellect in ways that we have yet to discover? And when we open and step away from fear and judgment and anger, how much more we can contribute and be joyful and collaborate with life. In this global environment, we literally can have conversations with people around the world that have various and vastly different lifestyles than ourselves, but there's the commonality of our own humanity. So I would invite you, if you're able, walk out in nature. Be with the land, be with the water. Be aware of the air, the time, the day, the cycles, and look at what you're doing. Recognize what you're doing. It is not simply about what you have, it's who you are. Is it not simply about the title you hold, but the love you hold within your heart that others begin to feel and express and feel comfortable with you? We all have change to make, and we all can do it. I thank you very much for your time. This is Elaine Groman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Just take a moment today as you walk throughout your day. What can you do to make life better? Better for yourself, that you're more comfortable in your body, that you're caring for your body and your emotions and your mind and those that you love and those that look to you and those to whom you look for guidance. And be collaborative in as many ways as possible. As always, I thank my wonderful producer, Kojo, and Brent Carey for the trust in allowing me to be one of the hosts on this incredible platform called Empower Radio. And listen in the future, if you would, please. And feel free to share if there are individuals that you think would be of value for me to interview. Thank you so much, and I hope that you have a beautiful and wonderful and better day every moment.